you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message.
Closer than I was before. So let it rain, don't let it pour.
You can join me today in Hosea chapter 11. This is our last message in this series as we've looked at the book of Hosea when we've been just looking at some high points throughout the book of Hosea. And I think that you've really enjoyed our look at this book. A book like Hosea can so easily become a book that sits at the back of the shelf. It can be a very easy book to know exists, and that's all we really need to do with it is know that it exists. The story of Hosea and Gomer is uncomfortable. The book is filled with prophecies of judgment and unfaithfulness, which is not usually what we want to read. That's not usually where our mind goes, our heart goes to. You know what I'd like to read is a book that sounds harsh and is difficult and uncomfortable. And so sometimes a book like Hosea can fall away to the back of the shelf. But I think over the last couple of weeks, we've been able to take this book and break it down a little and make it maybe a little more accessible and make it a little more understandable, make the story make a little more sense, and to show you in the greater context of Scripture how this uncomfortable, difficult book is an incredible picture of hope and love and God's pursuit of you and God's love for you, what this story has to say about God's love for us and His love for you as an individual. Because this book, it doesn't just tell us about God's love. It doesn't just have God saying, "This is how I feel about you." But it's a picture it's a book that shows us what God's love looks like. It's not just God saying, "I love you and I would do anything for you," but we're given this picture of God's love that will do anything for reconciliation. Hosea and his life and his marriage and his family are used in a deeply personal and a deeply real way to give us this amazing picture of God's love. And it was a love that cost Hosea a lot. And it shows us that to love like God loves costs us something. And we know that God's love costs us something because ultimately God's love cost Jesus His life. For God to love us the way that God loves us means that God extended His love so far that it cost Jesus His life. This is the ultimate manifestation of God's love. But before the cross of Christ, one of the greatest pictures that we have of God's love for us is the book of Hosea, where Hosea shows and not just tells us about the love of God. And the heart of Hosea, what we learn about God and God's love, is that God's love never quits. God doesn't stop pursuing us. God doesn't give up on us. There's not a point in our story where God says, "That's it. I'm washing my hands of you. I've done everything I can. You're on your own. I don't want you anymore." The story at the heart of Hosea is this picture of God's love continually pursuing us and continually coming after us. Despite the choices we make, despite our rejection, despite our unfaithfulness, God's love continues to pursue us and continues to come after us. And when we come to a place where we don't know how we've gotten here, the love of God is what's there to meet us. But this morning, what we're going to read as we finish our series on the book of Hosea, it's one of the most intimate, raw, and passionate pictures of God's love in all of Scripture. It paints this incredible picture of the heart of God that's shown in this very human way. In this deeply, the picture that's painted is this deeply human understanding of God's love. Now, this isn't to say that in this chapter God becomes human or that he's treated like a human in the sense that we're going to bring God down to us, that we're going to take God from heaven and bring him to us. But what we're given is an insight and an understanding of the divine nature of God's love in a really raw, human picture, in this honest, vulnerable expression, in a way that can almost be uncomfortable. That as we look at this, it's a way that probably, perhaps, you haven't really thought about God like this. Certainly for the audience that Hosea is speaking to, they would have never thought of God like this. The picture that's painted, they would have struggled probably with what Hosea would have to say about God. And for us, it can be a little bit different. Now, one of the things that's fascinating about Hebrews chapter 11 is that throughout the book of Hosea, we've been given this picture of God and his relationship with Israel. This picture of a husband and a wife. This picture of a husband and an adulterous, unfaithful wife. All through the book, we've come back to the prophet and the prostitute, the man and his unfaithful wife. And the picture of God is saying, this is what my love for Israel looks like. And we come back to that over and over and over again. But in Hebrews chapter 11, Hosea chapter 11, without any real lead up and without any real ground being laid, in an instant, the metaphor snaps into something else. It snaps in a different direction. And it goes from a husband and an unfaithful wife to a parent and their child, just like that. And as we move through this chapter, we're going to see the love of God painted in this deeply real and vulnerable way. We can sometimes think about our human love as being vulnerable. That when we love, we're putting ourselves out there. And that is risky. Because being loving and putting ourselves out there, it's a vulnerable place to be because you're exposing yourself to the potential of hurt. But we don't always think about divine love like that. We don't always think about divine, that God's love has made God vulnerable. We can look at the divine love of God and think, well, it's impenetrable. God's not vulnerable. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and so nothing about God is vulnerable. But what we're going to discover as we walk through this chapter is the vulnerableness of God's love. And I think it's going to hopefully be for you just this incredible, deep picture of God's love for you in a way that will hopefully stir your heart and just really touch you. I think it's going to be really impactful as you see God's love for you manifest in this chapter in perhaps a way that we're not particularly used to. But so we start by looking at verse 1 of Hosea chapter 11. And it just simply says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Immediately, we see so many changes to the metaphor. Wife to son, him to her. All throughout the book, Israel was her, and now suddenly he's him. All throughout the book, Israel was a wife, and now it's a son. The picture has totally changed. But there's something that's taking place in this verse here that I think is so amazing that on a cursory first read as you read through it, oh, the metaphor's changed. But I think if we just take a moment and we dive into this verse and we take a look at this particular verse in the context of all of Scripture, there is an amazing, amazing thing that's taking place here. Because if you know your Bible and you know the story of the history of Israel and all of that, you know what's being referred to here. That when God freed Israel from 4 centuries of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 4, when God sends Moses to speak to Pharaoh, he tells Moses to say this. He says, the Exodus, to say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so that he might worship me. So God says to Moses, when you go speak to Pharaoh, tell him that Israel's like my firstborn son, and he needs to let him go. But this is where there's something else going on here. That there's something deeper that's taking place here. Because Scripture will tell us that this isn't all that God is referencing here. What we will discover later in the book of Matthew is that even though as God speaks in the past tense here, he is prophetically speaking about the future. When Mary and Joseph in Egypt have to flee Israel and become refugees in Egypt because of threats from the rulers of Israel, in Matthew chapter 2, where we read about the birth of Jesus and his family's flight to Egypt, it also says this. So he got up and took the child and his mother, that's Joseph and Mary and Jesus, during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt, I called my son. God is saying, as we see in this simple statement, this amazing picture of God's salvation, that God references back to the Exodus from Egypt, the moment that defined Israel, the moment where Israel became God's chosen nation, and God showed himself incredibly mighty on their behalf. But there's also looking forward to Jesus. That in this moment, Hosea was speaking about Jesus. And it's this incredible understanding of God and his salvation for his people. But what we see is a picture of God who sees his people in this parental way. But it always, always points to a larger reality of what would be fulfilled in Jesus. So back to Hosea chapter 11, verse 2. It says, we read that verse already. I missed a verse in here. So verse 2 says, but the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. God is saying, I called my people out of Egypt. I called my firstborn son out of Egypt. And as they wandered out of Egypt, they pretty well right away started serving other gods. They started, as I called them out, the more they went away from me. And they began to worship other gods all around them. God is saying, I've called them out of Egypt. I brought them out, and almost right away, they turned their back on me. And they began to serve other gods and worship other gods. So then we come to verse, what is verse 3? And it says, this is God speaking, and he says, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. Now, we didn't talk about this last week. which we probably should have, because it may have caused some confusion when we're reading in our text. But Ephraim is just another word that is used in Hosea for Israel. Ephraim is another reference to another tribe, but it is referencing Israel. Somebody says, it was I who taught Ephraim, it was I who taught Israel how to walk. So it was I who taught Ephraim how to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like the one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. This is such a tender picture of God and his care for his people. If you've had children and you've taught them to walk, you know that when they're learning to walk, one of the things that you do is you hold them by their hands so that they can get used to all of that. And you walk around like this, helping your kid to walk. It's this incredible picture of a father picking up his baby and holding them cheek to cheek. It's this incredible picture of a father getting down on his knees, getting down to his kid's level to look them in the eye and feed them and care for them. It's this incredible picture of the father heart of God. God says, like a child who was just learning how to walk, I was there with you. When you were taking your first steps and when you were stumbling, I was there catching you. And God uses these deeply personal, intimate moments in terms that a parent would have with their children to remember the relationship that they used to have, to remember what their relationship has gone through and what God has done for them as their father. To give you a picture maybe of what is going on here. Maybe this is you, or maybe you've been to a house where they have just lots of family photos on the wall. Just lots and lots and lots of family photos, maybe down a hallway or over the stairs or something, but a house where you can almost see the story of the family as you walk down the hallway. And you see pictures of a child just freshly born, just a brand new baby. And then there's pictures of this little baby walking and pictures that are just moving through the years and years of the life of this baby. And as you look at these pictures, you can see the story of this life. You can see the story of the child and his relationship. There's a picture of them as a little baby, and then maybe a picture of mom and dad helping them to walk, and there's his running, and here she is on her first day of school, and then further down the wall, maybe a graduation. As you walk down the hallway or up the stairs, you can get this great sense of this whole journey that this child has been on and the journey that the parents have been on with this child. And this is essentially what God's doing in Hebrews, or Hosea, chapter 11. And this is an image that sometimes I think it can be tough to associate with God. But just as you as a good parent would have memories of those moments of beginning and the moments of upbringing with your children, we see here that God has these same kind of thoughts. That he's remembering, he's reminiscing. He is remembering Israel's childhood. And what God is saying here is to Israel is there are things about your beginnings, about your early years, that when you laughed and when you delighted in me, when you threw tantrums or whatever, I was there for it all. And I remember all of it. I remember all of our relationship. Yesterday, as we were driving home from Kirsten's wedding, She was in youth with us for, and through young adults and all of this stuff. And we were talking about our kids. And Owen could be married in 9 years. And he's nine. And just sort of how time goes and how fast it goes. And then at the same time, you can pull out your phone or your Facebook account and scroll back through pictures and videos and things. And oh my goodness, remember when he was so little. Remember all of the things that we've gone through. Oh, I forgot about this. Or, oh, I forgot about that. And this is what we see God doing in this moment with where his kids have walked away, and this moment where his relationship with his children is not what it used to be. And God comes to this place where he's remembering their relationship. And some of God's earliest memories of the people that he likens to his child, his son, is that they turned their back on their father, on their God, and the anguish, the brokenheartedness that God experienced because of it. But as God looks through the photos, as he walks down the hallway, as it were, this is what God remembers about Israel. And you look at the words that he uses. He says, I called, I loved, I taught, I took them up in my arms, I healed, I led, I bent down, I fed them. But it's not in like a selfish, grandizing way of like, look what I did for you. Why aren't you more grateful? These rotten kids today, look at all I've done for them, you selfish little jerks. That's not what God's heart is. That's not what God is saying. That's not what God is doing here. God is looking at these stories, and God is remembering their beginnings, their call out of Egypt, how God is saying, I remember how I walked with you, how I led you, how I fed you, how I cared for you. And this is the image that God gives to us. He says, God says, I bent down, and I came right down to your level. And I met you where you were. And when you couldn't feed yourself, I fed you. He's remembering with this deep, raw, passionate father's heart, his relationship with his kids. It's the image of a father kneeling down and looking into the face of their child and saying, I'm coming down to your level. I'm not expecting you to come up to me. I'm going to come to you wherever you are at. God's children are wandering off and they're leaving him. But as God remembers all of these things, how they couldn't feed themselves, and so God did it for them. And he remembers himself. And he remembers his commitment for Israel. It's not a mourning for what used to be, but it's this moment where God remembers Israel. And as we're going to see, God remembers who God is. And he remembers his commitment to him. And it's not about mourning what once was. It's an inspiration for about what's to come. Because we see that God asks himself a question. God asks himself a difficult question. In verse 8, God says, how can I give you up, Ephraim, Israel? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Adma? How can I make you like Zeboiim? Now, what does that mean? Those were two cities that were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. So what God is saying is, he's coming to himself, and he's going through the photo albums, and he's looking at the videos, so to speak, and he's remembering his child, and God comes to this place where he says, I just can't turn you over to destruction. I just can't see you annihilated. But God remembers his people, and he remembers who he is to them and who they are to him, and God recognizes the effect that this is having on him. He says, my heart is changed within me. And my compassion is aroused. He says, I will not carry out my fierce anger. I will not devastate Ephraim again. And then listen to this. For I am God, and not a man, the Holy One among you. God looks and he's remembering, and all of these memories are coming flooding back of his people, and he's remembering this journey that he's gone on, and he says, how I can't let this happen. I cannot see them destroyed. I cannot see my fierce anger brought out against them. I need to protect them. I need to fight for them, not because of who they are, but because of who I am. God remembers himself. He says, I am God. And so I need to commit myself to people. God is remembering, and God says, my heart is changed. His compassion for his people is stirred up, and his love is reinforced. And so God declares this about his children. He says, I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord, and he will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria, fluttering like doves, and I will settle them in their home, declares the Lord. We see the second image that God paints here. The first few verses, we get this tender, vulnerable, raw father's heart of God. As we see him reminiscing about who his children were to him and these incredible moments that he has, and his heart is moved, and it reinforces his commitment to who he is. And then we have this picture of this reinforced love of God that's like a roaring lion. Our God is our Heavenly Father who gets down on his hands and his knees and tenderly loves and cares for you. But he is also a roaring, fierce protector. And he is going to fight for what he loves. We have this picture of God's children wandering away from them, and they are going to end up in captivity because of it. But God says, my compassion is stirred up, and my love for you is reinforced, and I am going to roar. The roar of salvation. And when I roar, it's going to bring you back home again. Back to me again. God says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for your future, and I'm going to fight for your destiny. I'm not just going to let you be destroyed, but I will protect you. This is what the cross of Jesus was all about. The cross of Jesus is the ultimate roar of God. It is the ultimate roar of love. We are presented in this book all about God's unfailing, unconditional, uncompromising love. And then we're given two final pictures of God's love. The picture of a father and the picture of a lion. God loves you with the tender, loving heart of a perfect Heavenly Father, but also with the fierceness and the ferocity of a roaring lion. We see God is touched and he's hurt by our sin and our walking away. That concerns God. Don't think that it doesn't affect God. It doesn't affect his love for you. It doesn't affect how he feels about you. It doesn't affect how he sees you. But don't for a moment think that when we walk away and when we reject and when we refuse, that somehow it just bounces off of God. His father's heart for his children breaks. But in his father's heart's breaking, he's reinforced in his love. And in that moment, when we walk away, his love and his compassion are stirred up. And he says, I'm not going to let you go. And he says, I will roar a roar that will shake the foundations of the earth. And from wherever you are, you will be brought back home. And we see in Hosea that when we've walked away from God's love and compassion, or when we walked away from God, his love and compassion are not removed, but they're stirred up. And in his mercy and in his compassion, he will call us to turn back from him. God says, with loving cords of kindness, we read that today, that he will pull us back to him, that he will bring us back home, that he will bring us back to him. And he will fight for you. He will roar over you, roar over your life. The lion of the tribe of Judah will roar over you because of his boundless love for you.
Took the sin that stained me, cleansed me, made me.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we go.
I love you, you must have